I'm done with that.
Jerry's done.
I've got a hell of a buzz.
This is James Erickson. I'm here with Jerry Jones. We're still at Boone's Treasury. It's a Thursday, if you can believe it, and we're kind of winding down. Probably be our last beer cast of the day, I'm assuming.
Probably.
I gotta actually go back to my office, so my wife doesn't think all I do is drink beer.
I don't. Although I do to get my
computer. My Twitter followers are waiting for me, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
They're on the edge of their seats. They're like, what's James going to say next?
We should be Twittering right now.
We should have. We could have done a live one today, thinking about it.
We need to get a...
or at least, I think we need to do a video cast, because I think that would fit better with our listeners.
Well, we need to get our iPhones set up so they can do that. We need to get the next generation iPhone,
we're
I guess.
So behind the times.
The whole fact that
12
we both
months
have
behind.
iPhones and flips.
And flips.
Yeah, it's geeky.
But anyways, we talked a little bit about Nordstrom and how, I forget what the last one was, something about Nordstrom and how they sell to people.
It was about your jacket.
I bought a jacket at
Nordstrom's.
Yeah, and I wish I would have gotten pants. But I was in Nordstrom about 2 weeks ago, and Jerry said he didn't go, so I'm going to have to tell the story. And we walked in, and there were curtains up in each different department. So the shoe department had a little curtain. The men's department had some curtains up, blocking off basically a wall and a half of the department. And it brought up some curiosity in my head, what's behind that curtain? And we were looking around. I was actually looking for some new shirts at the time. And I asked the sales guy, how do I get behind the curtain? Or, you know, can we go behind the curtain and look? And he said, well, are you one of our preferred members? And I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, that's our special, was it fall preview for our preferred members?
That takes place tonight or and after hours? Or
no, it was then. It
really?
Was right then.
Okay.
And, you know, they did it for 2 days or 3 days during the weekend. And then in a month or two, I'll be able to go into Nordstrom and see this stuff. But they got first dibs at it,
okay. Basically. Got it.
And if you know anything about Nordstrom, and this is something that a lot of people don't know, is that they keep very good track of your purchases.
Oh boy.
And if you spend over a certain amount with them, you are very well liked by them, and they do a lot of stuff for you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are now saying, oh, no, they don't. Well, you don't spend enough at Nordstrom then,
That's because you
don't get those extra bonuses. So this curtain was there. And I have no idea what was behind it, because the guy looked at me like he was going to shoot me if I took a peek. It was pretty crazy. But it was a big curiosity builder. And there was actually two people behind the curtain in the men's department. I was just trying to peek in, but there's no opening. Like, you couldn't find an opening anywhere to get through this curtain. And you could just see enough through it to know that there were people back there and that there was actual shirts and pants and things back there. But I'm trying to tie this into how people can really, it's the
very basic human psychological emotion of people wanting what they can have. And it doesn't matter what it is, James. It just doesn't
it's
matter.
It's a takeaway, a big takeaway.
Okay, James, you're a guy, and you are interested in the shit behind a curtain at a clothing store. That's really what this boils down to. And so
it didn't even matter if it was clothes or whatever.
No,
it could have been an old beater car back there.
But
like,
you want what's behind the curtain.
What's back there?
You know, it's the old cat. You know, they want to know what's going on. So how do you use curiosity? Well, a lot of people will use this in building up the launch of a product. And one of the mistakes I think some marketers make is they're only selling high-priced stuff. You know, $1,000, $900, $500, $400. And so every time you get a pitch from me, you're like, well, I'm not going to have the couple
like
hundred bucks they want.
For this, yeah.
You know, instead of mixing it up to keep people reading the message, it's why I'm going to be selling, you know, $15 things. Because the products it's not that they're not good products. They're smaller, they're more concise, they require less of my time to create
and
deliver.
I mean, it's kind of the whole freemium model. If you give them a little bit of something for a smaller price, they'll be more likely to maybe check out your really good stuff.
Yeah, and you can't be afraid to vary the price of stuff, to go to offer a low cost item or high, but it's that whole curiosity. You've got to keep them involved, and that's one way Nordstrom's does it, is they have these sneak preview things that nobody else is going to see, and you're going to be the elite few, or you know, they're using that very basic human psychological.
And a lot of people are afraid to take that step because they think, well, I'll either,
I don't want to get pigeonholed.
Well, I'm going to be singling out my customers, you know, some of my good customers that don't spend a lot of money. Well, no, you're not really. You're just going to give them incentive to spend more with you. Because then they can be part of that elite club. Everybody wants to be part of an elite club.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be the people behind the curtain. Like, you want to know everything about, you know, especially Nordstrom. People will die for that place. You see, I mean, they sell freaking license plate frames that say, I'd rather be shopping at Nordstrom. And people buy them.
Yeah,
and they're not cheap. They're not cheap. It's not like they're $5 off the shelf. They're, you know, $20-$25 for this license plate frame just to tell people you shop at Nordstrom.
Yeah, just to advertise for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're paying
just
to advertise.
Exactly. Exactly. And now I'm advertising for them, telling them there's
this
big
Harley Davidson, you know? Well, here, this is something else I thought about the other day. I went into Walmart, and which, by the way, interesting story. I didn't used to shop at Walmart.
I love Walmart.
I love it.
They have their shit together now.
They do. I didn't used to shop there much, if at all, but because, you know, things I've been through in the last year.
If you don't know about those things, go ahead and listen to the last maybe 5-6 beer casts. You'll probably hear enough about them.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, I got knocked down the rung on the ladder. And so I've been shopping there quite a bit. Well, yesterday I'm walking out, and I see a guy walking in that is taken a fall much larger than mine, let's put it that way. He had kind of a sour look on his face.
Well, that's good.
And I kind of smiled at him and laughed. Our kids go to school together.
Oh, got it.
But anyway,
are you just laughing at some random guy?
I won't mention any names, but I think the guy's kind of a prick. I mean, I don't like him. He's an arrogant SOB, but all that aside, let me tell you about what I want to get to about about Walmart. They've got a greeter. And I walk in usually in the garden section of Walmart. And there's a greeter there. Some dork in a hat. You know, he's like, hey, welcome to Walmart. I'm like, hey,
either super nerdy or super old.
One of the two. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey.
Sometimes both.
Sometimes both. I'm like, hey, welcome back. You know, here we are. So on the way out, I was thinking to myself, why does Walmart have greeters? And here's why.
Loss prevention.
No, that's really good. No, because you can still beep and walk out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They're like,
I'll outrun the fat guy. It's not a big deal. Or the old guy, one of the two. No, here's why. Because you and I talk about it. Because people talk about the greeters at Walmart. Exactly. It is a word of mouth. It's a trigger point. Can you believe you could be a greeter at Walmart and get paid to say hi?
And even as much as we make fun of the greeters, though, it's still like, oh, I'm going to go to Walmart and see what the greeter looks like today. Like, it's a curiosity thing. You're like, is he nerdy or is he old? I got $5 on nerdy.
If you could track what kind of press Walmart has gotten because they have
just
greeters.
Because they have greeters.
Because they have a greeter that's getting minimum wage. Stand there going, welcome to Walmart. Thanks for shopping at Walmart. You know, whatever it is they're saying, entry or exit. That's why they've got them. I'm convinced. That's why Sam Walton said, we need an old, decrepit
super
man
PR
or
move.
Woman.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you had one at the dental office?
A greeter?
Just a guy, black coat, at the door. Welcome to the dental office.
Damn, how much is that going to cost? There goes another
$1,000 idea. He could be the limo driver. What the heck? You just make him stand there, and if he's got to drive somebody home, maybe the greeter's not there for an hour.
I actually really toyed for a long period of time of hiring someone from Nordstrom to do nothing but greet patients and move patients from chair to chair, and basically they were their personal concierge the whole time they were there. Basically, like, when they come up, when they show up to the office, they'd have their own personal assistant for that visit.
That would be awesome.
You know, if the office was big, ours is like, you know, 300 square feet, you know, it's a small dental office. But imagine if it was a big office and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of places to go, you could get easily lost or whatever. You know, I mean, if you don't
Charlie
know
Martin's
place,
office.
Yeah, like Charlie Martin's
office. He's got his internet cafe.
Yeah,
and all
piano,
that.
You know, somebody playing the piano. Well, he's probably had to cut back a little bit.
He doesn't, yeah, he didn't.
Tough times.
Well, I saw a video, he did a YouTube video. About
did he?
It. Well, he didn't, his staff.
Somebody
did. Yeah, I'm sure somebody talked to him into it. He was like, okay.
Okay, we'll do it. But, you know, that'd be really cool if you could go to that level. You know, I mean, think of the press you'd get.
Yeah. I mean, I look at, like, there's a dentist in Australia named Patty Lund. And we know him pretty well just because we're in that niche. But his doors are locked.
He doesn't
like,
even
you
have a sign.
Like, you can't walk in to his door. You got to, like, ring the bell 3 times and knock behind your back and do the secret handshake to get into his office.
That's
because
right.
It's all referral.
Yep.
And think of if he had a bodyguard or somebody that would stand at the door.
That's all he did all day long, just stand there.
Yeah.
That's tough.
8 hours a day, stand there. Somebody comes up, what's your name, ma'am? And then he rings on his little, you know, headset microphone. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Simpson is here to see you.
That's right.
And, you know, here comes the personal assistant running out.
Some really beautiful, gorgeous gal in a short nursing outfit.
Yeah. Here we go. Well, it depends on if it's a guy or girl, of course.
There you go. Might be a Chippendales.
Comes out and walks them back to the... I know they have personal suites. Mm-hmm. They don't have a waiting room. They have personal suites where they take them, and then they take their little food order.
We get
they
tea and biscuits.
Yeah, they get like a blueberry muffin or something. Yeah, with shrimp on the barbie, whatever they do in Australia. But it's super personalized service.
Yeah.
And we went from curiosity to super personalized.
Here we are talking about some guy in Australia about his frickin' dental office. What does that tell you?
Well, he's doing it right, and he's not ashamed to talk about himself either, for sure.
Yeah.
So.
And people want to be, and there's no, and there is absolutely no price resistance. It'll be $3,000 for a crown. Okay.
Yeah. That's
Nobody
it.
Nobody cares. Yeah, that's all. What a bargain.
I had a girl on Twitter yesterday say, somebody emailed me and said that I'm more affordable than they thought. Should I be posting my rates online? And I said, no, you should raise your prices. If people think you're not affordable, don't be affordable. You're doing fine. It's not like you're hurting for business.
Right.
You're doing fine.
Well, I've always been of the mindset that as business increases, mm-hmm. so should your prices. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, why shouldn't you make more? You're dealing with more. You've got more responsibility.
And the thing is, how do you know if your prices are high enough? If people are saying that's too much.
Not even that necessarily. If they're still buying, it doesn't matter.
Well, if some of your people are saying that's too much money.
Right.
Then you know.
You know when sales
But you've
sales
only gone
suffer.
Too high when sales are dropping.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, what one dentist charges for a crown, you know, doesn't matter. It's all irrelevant.
Exactly.
It's all irrelevant.
I mean, if you added a front door guy, a personal assistant for each patient. I mean, how many patients do you have in at one time? One or two?
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, that's not that many. If you added those two people at $8.50 an hour or whatever, adds $80 a day. No, probably about $200 a day, let's say, to be safe. If you work them an 8-hour day.
$150 a day.
$150 a day. Mm-hmm. And you raise your prices so that throughout the day your 10 patients pay an extra $15 a piece, it's in the wash. You're not going to lose any more sales.
Right.
You're going to gain sales because you've got this personalized, super ultra personalized service.
That's right.
So...
And wouldn't it be cool if they actually, like, acted as an advocate for the patient? If they were, like, a patient advocate, too?
As far as?
Well, like, you know, doctor, you know, what other alternatives do you have to offer?
Like, so, like somebody, like doctors sitting across the table, and they're next to him, like,
yeah, it's like,
ask him about this. Ask him about the special Wednesday discount.
Yeah. It's a good cop, bad cop.
Here's a coupon. You know, just like slipping him stuff under the door.
It's the bad Starbucks employee. You know, that's always giving away the free Starbucks. I got a funny story.
That
yesterday, I was in there. It was like 91 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And the gal behind the counter, nice gal. I see her, you know, a couple times a week. She's kind of freaking out because it was so hot. The AC went out.
What's her name, by the way? Downtown?
No.
Oh.
Out south.
Our neighbor. Tall, skinny, our neighbor girl lady. Works. Oh, no, it's not her.
Yeah, you're thinking of the heavy, large...
No, our neighbor girl who just became our full-time babysitter.
Oh, perfect.
Works at Starbucks.
Oh, nice. But anyway, she was... very apologetic when she forgot to put my sausage, an egg sandwich in the oven. She had forgotten for maybe a minute. I mean, I knew she'd forgotten. I'm standing there, you know, with my iced latte and knowing that she'd forgot. She takes the next person's order, looks up at me with this startled, oh shit, look in her face. She's like, oh, I forgot yours. I'm like, that's okay. It's like been, you know, maybe a minute, 2 minutes tops. And she's just all apologetic. She runs over, you know, slams it in the oven, gets everything going, and she's like, here. Your next drink's on us. You know, she gives me the free Starbucks.
You didn't
like,
even have to complain.
I didn't complain. Now, that is customer service.
Yeah.
That is covering, you know, your bases. But I've noticed, I don't know if you have, James, or not, but I've noticed recently that Starbucks in particular has not retooled, but they're going back to what made them great in the beginning, which is customer service, which is, hey, there's John.
Well,
what's
you
he
know,
want?
And you know what? They've made... Gosh, we're covering so much crap on this.
What is this, 14 minutes?
14 minutes.
I'm exhausted. Nobody's paying me to be here, and I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted. They've got good press for that. Maybe, I want to say, like 6 months to a year ago, in the fact that Howard Schultz was going to come back and run the company, and
right.
they were going to revert to a lot of their old practices, and the newspaper picked up on it, and they were like, this is going to be the coolest thing for Starbucks, because now the guy that built Starbucks is coming back to run the show, he's going to go back to a lot of the old customer service, a lot of the old natural blends, you know, that they used to have. They used to grind, you know, they used to grind all their own beans and or the Americanos or whatever's on tap, I guess you would.
Right.
I don't know. I don't drink much coffee, but they went to grinding their own beans then in the morning again, rather than they'd gotten away from that because it saved some money to not grind your own beans.
Well, that's what happens when you let bean counters run a company.
Exactly.
You know, when you take a company that was built on a cult, I mean, a culture. It was really a cult.
Starbucks, it still is.
You know, yeah. But it's, you know, they've sustained some damage for sure. But if you can take that and get a guy that was there from the beginning, is he climbing a mountain? He's got a billy club. He's got knee pads. He's got...
Oh, whatever.
Wow. Anyway. But when you get away
from... dedicated than I am to whatever he's doing.
Exactly. Because he's in black and I'm not.
Exactly.
It's very hot. But they had to bring him back. Otherwise, Starbucks would go bye-bye. I mean, it would just start to wither on the vine.
We could totally go into that.
I mean, that's a whole other series of beer casts.
That's a whole series of beer casts.
But, don't let the bean... Don't let the inmates run the asylum. I mean, the bean counters don't know customer service. They don't have an entrepreneurial spirit that it takes to build a company like
Starbucks. It'll be interesting to see, too, over the next year or so, how that kind of revert to, you know, more expertise about the coffee... customer service kind of pays off to build the profits of the business. And the thing is, unfortunately, it's not as trackable as one would like to say, yeah, we did this and this, and that led to this and this.
But you and I,
but the same time,
case in point, you and I are sitting here talking about it.
Yeah,
and you've noticed, I've noticed the changes, you know, and that's, they needed to do that. Anyway, let's wrap this one up.
For sure. Yeah, let's wrap. 16 minutes, man. We had a couple of long ones today, but anyways, James Erickson. We gave you a lot. If you haven't heard, if you don't listen to the last 5 minutes of these, you're missing out on all of them. So I got to make that little disclaimer. Go listen to the last 5 minutes because that's when we really start rolling.
It takes us a bit to get going.
It does. Yeah. It does. So marketingbeercast.com. Go listen to the old ones. We'll catch you next time.
Adios. What do we have for damage?